Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As you know, there aren't many accounts in the Bible of the early life of Jesus. From the time of the Holy Family's flight to Egypt, when Jesus was still just a baby, until his baptism in the River Jordan at age 30, there is exactly one event recorded for us in the Gospels. This Gospel that you heard today of the boy Jesus at age 12, who went to Jerusalem and then gave his parents a scare by not going back with them to Jerusalem on their way. This account of Jesus, the boy Jesus in the temple, tells us just a little bit about the life of Jesus. We'd like to know more. We'd like to know what it was like for the Son of God to grow up in a human family. But the Holy Spirit says, this is exactly how much you need to know about the early life of Jesus. Everything wrapped up in this one account and the words that follow. Jesus showing love for God, his Father, with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength as he sat there listening to the Word of God and the teachers of it. Jesus, the boy, showing perfect honor and obedience and submission to his earthly parents too. Jesus, the boy who grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. What else do we need to know about the life of that boy? It's everything a boy should be, the life of Jesus. And that's really the point for us. Jesus was everything a boy should be. Let's turn to the gospel and look at the account of it. Luke tells us that it was the custom of Jesus' parents to go to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. That was required in the law of Moses for every Jewish male in Israel as part of the observance of the law. The fact that Mary also accompanied Joseph on each of those trips every year from Nazareth all the way down or up to Jerusalem, depending on your point of view, shows that this was no obligatory journey that Joseph made because he had to go. The two of them went together out of devotion to God, willing observance of the law. Now, whether or not Jesus accompanied them on their journeys to Jerusalem before age 12, we don't know for sure. What we do know is that it was, and really still is, Jewish custom that it's age 13 when a boy becomes subject to the commandment, subject to the law, and all of its ceremonial observances as required in the Old Testament, and that at age 12, or even sometimes 11, they start practicing so that they're ready to begin full force at age 13. Maybe that's why it was at age 12 Jesus went with them. Again, we don't know. They travel from Nazareth to Jerusalem. They spend the days of the feast in the holy city, probably the full week. And then Mary and Joseph, together with their relatives and acquaintances and all of the company that traveled together from Nazareth to Jerusalem, start heading back. But as it says, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. Well, how could they not know it, we ask? And yet, why would they expect Jesus not to be with them? This was the boy who never broke a commandment. This was the boy who was always listening, always following, never going off on his own and doing wild things. It tells us even before these verses that he was already growing in wisdom at that age, So he knew better than to do anything that could endanger himself. Why would they expect him not to be with them? They had already traveled a day's journey when they realized that he wasn't. So they traveled back another day's journey back to Jerusalem and took the next day looking for Jesus and finally found him in the temple, where it says that he was sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" And they didn't even understand what he meant when he said that, being about his father's business. We could focus on why they didn't understand this, on why they had gotten it in their heads that Joseph was Jesus' only father, when they knew full well that Joseph was not his biological father, that his virgin birth had come as a miracle, and that this son of theirs had a redemption to accomplish. For now, let's focus on the astonishment of the teachers of the law as they heard this 12-year-old boy asking and answering questions, and the amazement of his mother and father to see him there doing that. We should be amazed too at this 12-year-old boy showing such deep love and zeal for the Word of God and for the works of God the Father. We should be amazed that a 12-year-old boy should love to be in the temple and with the Holy Scriptures so much that he doesn't want to leave, so much that he wants to stay there, not to play around with the other boys, not to sightsee in Jerusalem, but to discuss the Word of God with the teachers of the law. Truly, this is an ideal child. And there wasn't a hint of defiance in him, of superiority over his parents, even though he was far superior to them. He had no concern for his earthly life, his works that he might want to do, his business, his pleasure, his future, his entertainment, just the innocent love for his Father in heaven, to be about his business, to be hearing his word and talking about it. Jesus is the perfect child of God who perfectly fulfills the words of the psalmist, "Oh, how I love your law! It is my meditation all the day." And again, in the psalm, "Lord, I have loved the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells." And again in the first psalm, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." Here is the fulfillment of the psalmist's words. Jesus, even at the age of 12, was fulfilling his task of being the perfect human being, the one whom you don't have to command or coerce to go to church or guilt into it. You don't have to command or coerce to read his Bible, to be a student of the Scriptures. He is a willing student of Scripture, excited to learn God's Word, even as he is the one who gave that Word and who is that Word from the beginning. eager to discuss it. And he does it all on his own.
Because he is absolutely devoted to his God. His will is perfectly connected to his Father's will, as Jesus would later say to the Jews. Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. After astounding the teachers of the law with his understanding, and after amazing his parents with his devoted behavior, it says that he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. There he is, the boy who loves the Lord his God with all his heart and who honors his earthly parents and gladly and willingly submits to them. In all his actions, in all his attitudes, in all his behaviors, Jesus increased in favor with God and men. This was a child, a boy, a young man who never complained, never grumbled against his parents, who was not self-centered, not a brooding tween, but kind, thoughtful, considerate of others, and perfectly obedient. Of course he grew in favor with God and men. He was everything a boy should be. Jesus' perfect childhood, his sincere love for God, his obedience to his parents, his love for his neighbor, this is how it was meant to be for all of us. This is how it would have been in the world, that kind of love for God and one's neighbor, if Adam and Eve hadn't fallen into sin. Instead, you children, you teenagers, and you who once were children and teenagers, you know that you have not loved God like that, that you have not been aching to stay at church and keep listening and studying the scriptures while your parents are already on their way out the door. Sometimes it's just the opposite, isn't it? And you know that you have not so willingly and gladly obeyed your parents and honored them or lived your life for the benefit of your neighbor all the time. Jesus' childhood serves as a warning for young people and for adults alike. The life Jesus led is the life that God requires of all the sons of men. It's not okay for you, even in your youth, to despise the Word of God, to get bored with it, to fail to pay attention to it, to wish you were somewhere else on Sunday morning. Nor is it okay for you to dishonor your parents or to grumble against them, whether it's out loud or only in your heart. Nor is it okay for you to become so self-absorbed that you sit around doing nothing all day instead of serving your neighbor and growing in wisdom. At the same time, Jesus didn't lead a perfect childhood in order to be some goody-goody, holier-than-thou little kid that everybody hates because he thinks he's better than everybody. He didn't live his perfect childhood in order to condemn you for not doing it. He did it happily, so that you might be brought to repentance and faith in him as your substitute. He did it so that you might be able to call God your Father too. Not because you have loved him with your whole heart, not because you have been so devoted to his word, but because Jesus did and was. And you are now bound to him by baptism. He was everything a boy should be, so that you could inherit from him as the perfect son a gift that only a perfect son could deserve or earn, even the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. With the forgiveness of sins comes a new heart, a new purpose, to not live for ourselves, but for him who loved us and gave himself for us, to be imitators of God as dearly loved children, to walk in love, as St. Paul wrote, and with the mercy of God in view, you are to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, as you heard in the epistle today. So, young people, and you who once were young, see your Savior working on your behalf in today's gospel. Repent and believe in him, and see how your Father was working through Jesus as your substitute to bring you into his house. But also learn from Jesus. Learn from his example. Learn from what it looks like to love God and his word so completely, to be a willing student of the scriptures. Learn what it looks like to be respectful of your parents at all times and obedient to those whom God has placed in authority over you. Learn what it looks like to devote your childhood and your adulthood and every breath of your life to God and to your neighbor. By faith in Christ Jesus, God now sees you as already being everything a child should be. Make it your goal to live that way too. And you too will continue to increase in wisdom and in favor with God and men. Through Christ Jesus, amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.